Good morning. We find ourselves in another one of those ordinary times that's not so ordinary. Last week I talked about how the first solemnity that we find coming out of the Easter season is the solemnity of the Holy Trinity, and how important, how foundational the understanding of the Trinity is to our faith. And this week is no different, because today we come to celebrate the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ, Corpus Christi, and not the city in South Texas. The real meaning of Corpus Christi, that Christ came and gave himself literally, physically, for the redemption of the world. And we hear this message this morning. Father Mike, as he was greeting me this morning, he goes, this morning's a tough one. It is, and it's a tough one because it forces us to act on faith. We hear that the people in the time of Jesus found this teaching difficult to deal with. It even says that some of them left. They went away. They couldn't handle the depth of this teaching. This teaching is not one that is meant to be easy, but it's one that is meant to be life-changing, life-altering. That Jesus came to literally give himself, and he continues to give himself perpetually. We use that word in the Liturgy of the Eucharist, a perpetual offering, not just for the people who were in the room with him on that night of the Last Supper, but for you and for I as we come and we partake likewise in this great feast, which we celebrate of his body and his blood. Well, wait a minute. I don't want to be a cannibal. That doesn't sound good to me. Well, that's not the point of the teaching. The point of the teaching is that we must fully and completely accept Christ, not only into our mind, but into our very selves. I know that I was raised with the adage, you are what you eat. And to some degree, I've said this before, I've become a barbecue sandwich and a powdered sugar donut. Because for way too many years of my life, that was something I ate. I've tried to cut back on some of it. I still like barbecue sandwiches. I still like donuts. I just try not to eat them together. Because I'm a living witness. You are what you eat. You become this essence of what you consume. But in a very spiritual way, that is also true. You are what you eat. What you take into yourself spiritually can change you for the good, or it can change you for the bad. It can make you healthy, or it can make you sick. And Jesus says to his disciples and to the people that were following him, unless you eat of my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me, nor I in you. That is a difficult one, but it is one we must embrace. Not because it is difficult, but because it is truth. How does the bread and the wine become the body and blood of Christ? It's a matter of faith, or our Orthodox brothers and sisters would say, it's a mystery. If we have to explain everything, if we have to understand everything, if our mind has to wrap around everything, where does faith even exist in that? We just live in a world full of facts. But I would tell you that faith is more powerful than facts. Faith can actually overcome facts. I was talking this morning in Sunday school about how many times has the Lord blessed me, and I can't say the Lord's ever blessed me with a pocket full of money, but the Lord has blessed me physically so many times, it's beyond my ability to count anymore. All the orthopedic injuries that I've had and how God's healed me. And I remember several years ago, I'd gone through my left bicep reconstruction, and there was a lady in the church that I'd never seen her with. I knew she was married because she wore a wedding ring, but I'd never seen a man with her, so I didn't know who her husband was. And so after part of my recovery, she called me one day and she said, can I come and talk to you? I said, sure, my door's always open. And she came in and she sat down and she said, my husband is an orthopedic surgeon, and I've been going home and telling him every week about your recovery and how you're doing, and all he keeps saying is, that's impossible. Of course it is to medical science. Things are going to be impossible. Of course it is to a mathematician. Some things are going to be impossible, but in God, all things are possible. God can do things outside of the box, and that's where we have to be able to accept mysteries, and we have to learn to live by faith. And part of that, a big part of that, is him giving himself to us in such a way that he transforms us from the inside out, that our lives are altered and changed from the inside out, that God begins to change us not only by our actions, but God begins to change us from our thought process, from our very existence, from the inside out. And that begins for us sacramentally in the Eucharist. See, Jesus knew there was a dynamic that needed to change, and he tells the children of Israel in the Old Testament, the first reading today, that that bread that came down from heaven was merely to sustain you on a temporal journey. It needed to get you through 40 years in the desert. But this bread that comes down from heaven is going to sustain you for a journey also, but this journey is an eternal journey. This journey is one that takes you not just through this life, but all the way into and through eternal life, who brings you into the glory and to the presence of God. If that's what you want, then here's the food you need to eat. Not because it's too hard for you to believe, but because it's divinely sent. It's given to you out of the very essence of God Himself that has come to offer you the gift of life, eternal life. And that is what God comes to offer us in the Eucharist. It is foundational. The theology that last week we talked about, the Trinity, is foundational to our understanding of God. But the Eucharist is foundational to our understanding of eternal life. If we cannot embrace the fullness that God came and literally gave Himself for us, then where does eternal life exist? How can we believe what God has said we should believe? Either you believe it or you don't. And you don't get to piecemeal Scripture. Either it is true or it is not in totality. And yes, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around. Our minds are limited. God is limitless. There's a passage of Scripture that says that man's wisdom is God's foolishness. Grab onto that one for a little while, like every morning and every afternoon and every night. When we think we've got it figured out, understand this, you don't have it figured out. God has it figured out. God has this place that He's made for us. God has a path that is ready for us. The children of Israel didn't know why they walked around in circles for 40 years, but God knew. And God knew they weren't going to make it for 40 years with the limited provisions they had. So God made additional provisions for them sent down from heaven. He sent them manna in the morning and quail in the evening. Now anybody from Texas, that'd be a pretty good deal. But they began to complain about that. They got tired of eating the same thing every day. And God said, but I've made provision for you. This is going to take you from here to there, from life as a slave into life in the promised land. And I want to say to you that our life is much like the desert that the children of Israel traveled through. Our life will have seasons of being like a desert where we will feel like we are going through something we can't overcome. But God says, I've come to give you something that will sustain you, that will make a provision for you, that will carry you from here to there, here in this life to there in eternal life. And that is my body and my blood. And Jesus in our gospel this morning says another thing that's very important for us, that just as the Father has become one with me, so you might become one with Him. This is what carries us on that mystical, spiritual journey out of the things that we can conceive and believe and into the realm of faith, of eternity. We have been called to a greater life than we can imagine, and our journey there has been provided by God Himself. That when Jesus came to earth, it was God made man, God in the flesh, and He abandoned His flesh but left it for us in a celebratory meal, not a sacrificial meal. The sacrifice has already happened. What is left behind is something that is here for us to celebrate. That's why we have a solemnity, an opportunity to celebrate that God has given us the very essence of Himself, and He does it in a very real and tangible way. See, He knew we needed that. There's something within our physical being that needs the tangible. It needs something to see, something to smell, something to touch. And Christ has given us that in His body and blood that we celebrate today in Corpus Christi Sunday. Now, we also get to celebrate something else today, and that is a baptism. Two baptisms, in fact. And I want to share a story with you that gives us that tangible connection to baptism. Several years ago, listen up, guys, I hope this happens today. If it does, all of us are going to have a heart attack, but it's okay. We'll recover. Here or there, we'll recover. Several years ago, a couple I had married had just had a young baby, and the child was born with Down syndrome. And the child was unable to travel, and so they called and they said, would you be willing to travel to Utah to baptize our child? And I said, absolutely, I'd love to. And so we made arrangements, and I caught a flight and went out to Utah, and we got there. And they said, we really would like to do it on the side of this mountain. Actually, it was kind of the top of the mountain. They said, we feel like that's a very sacred place for us. And so the morning of the event, We got up and we started to travel up the mountain. Well, the father of the child is a helicopter pilot, so he has all kinds of weather apps on his phone. And he said, oh, there's a storm coming, and we're going to have to really hurry to beat the storm. And so up the mountain we start traveling, and the further we go, the weather app looks worse. And he finally, at one point on the drive up the mountain, he goes, how long does this take? I said, well, I mean, there's nuts and bolts, but we'll get it taken care of. It'll be all right. And we get up there, and we get everything set up ready for the baptism, and there is a dark cloud over the top of it. It looks like we're about to get soaked. I mean, I am convinced that we don't really need the water in the bowl, because we're going to have plenty of water coming from heaven to baptize this child. And we get going, and we get into the rite of baptism, and just at the point as we're baptizing this young girl, there is a clap of thunder that shook the mountain. And immediately, the skies parted. I have a picture of me holding that child at the moment of baptism, and all you can see behind us is a blue sky. Now, the problem for you is that you weren't there to see the dark clouds. But I will tell you that what God revealed to us that moment is what God reveals to us every time we celebrate a baptism, every time we celebrate the Eucharist, every time we celebrate the sacraments, is that God is rejoicing with us, and there is a clap of thunder. We may not hear it audibly, but there is a clap of thunder, and the clouds rejoice, if you will. Heaven rejoices because those are coming into the presence of God. Those are being redeemed and brought forward to being given the gift of everlasting life. And so what I want to say to the two of you this morning is, know that whether we hear a clap of thunder, we may. We've had storms overnight. We may hear a clap of thunder. But whether we hear it with our ears is not as important as that we hear it with our hearts. And that we know that heaven today rejoices because the two of you are being accepted, adopted into the body, the family of believers. You were born into a Christian home, but today you are making a covenant for yourself. You're saying, I believe, I want to be part of this family. I want to be participating in this life, in this family of faith. And not just for a day or for a moment, but for the rest of this life and for all of everlasting life. Brothers and sisters, as we celebrate with their baptism, as we celebrate the Eucharist today, let us all rejoice with all of heaven that we have been redeemed, that we have been bought with a price, that Jesus has come to earth to live and die as one of us, to bring us the gift of everlasting life and to offer us the sacrament of the Eucharist, the sacrament that embodies all other sacraments, that we might have everlasting life in and through Him. Amen.